Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
You seem down, or maybe you're angry at me.
Mm-mm.
What is it?
It's not you, it's me.
No, that's not...
You're supposed to say, I invented it's not you, it's me.
No, that was Seinfeld.
That was Seinfeld, yeah. Costanza.
Yeah, no,
I thought you were going to do it, but you didn't, so that's great. Now we have nothing.
No, but I don't fancy myself Costanza in the Seinfeld world.
He's too good to be... You're too good to be Costanza?
I'm Jay Peterman. Hello and welcome to episode 245 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
I don't know, my wife's dancing around behind me.
What a great way to start the show.
She's trying to make Jack happy. Apparently, Jack is in our room, and he's going to go to sleep behind because it's kind of bedtime.
Jack gets to have a sleepover tonight, too.
Yeah. Sarah is having a sleepover with her friend downstairs, and Jack's having a sleepover with his parents upstairs in our room.
Great story.
Yeah. No, the great part about it is he's right behind me. We've got a live audience for this episode.
Oh, multiple. Usually it's just your wife.
Yeah.
now two people will fall asleep in 5 minutes.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. Yeah. If you are planning a sleepover, let me give you some advice right now, Adam.
Okay.
As a guy who has not planned a lot of sleepovers, I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
When I do plan my sleepovers, I will get all the accoutrement on Amazon.
Oh, all the snacks and stuff.
Well, I meant the felt pens to draw on people's faces when they pass out, but okay, yeah, snacks sounds a little bit better. Yeah. Okay. Your buckets of water, your shaving cream, all the things that go into a sleepover, at least when I was a kid.
Yes.
You know, brass knuckles, Polaroid camera, yeah, that sort of stuff. A lot of the hair removal kit, stuff like that.
Okay, you should put together an Al Attridge Two Hosers branded sleepover kit.
I'm wondering, can you do that like on Amazon? Like basically create? I guess you can create like if you like to register for a wedding, you could do that or something. Or register on Amazon, that'd be cool. Has anyone done that?
I don't know.
Registered on Amazon, that would be brilliant.
I'm sure
everybody
has.
Would love them.
Yeah, that they would be awesome. You could literally get anything.
Oh, and not leave your house,
right?
Instead of going down to the Hudson's Bay and buying a $900 sauteing pan,
right?
These are my favorite people, the people who eat at Arby's 6 days a week and then register for like the $7,000 steak knives.
Yeah. I don't get that either.
Yeah. Anyways, maybe we could put together like a certain package, like on Amazon. Well, I'll look into that. But my point being was when you do buy the sleepover kit, click through our site. Everybody wins.
Sure.
I'm not here. When you're listening to this show on Monday.
Okay.
Next Monday.
Right.
Coming up. That's how we do the show. You know how the show gets published, right, Adam?
Yeah, there's a magic genie somewhere if you say Al Attridge three times really quickly, it just pops up on the internet.
Essentially, those are the broad strokes, yeah. But what I'm saying is, this comes up Monday.
Right.
I'm heading home from a job.
Okay.
So I'm not actually recording this on Monday. There's a job I'm not talking about. We'll talk about it on the next show, but let me just say, pretty excited about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could
too,
tell,
evidently.
You could tell by my yawn that I'm also excited.
Yes. So good show, or good job all lined up. We'll talk about next week, but probably in all honesty, it'll probably pop up. Something will pop up on Facebook before then.
Okay.
Which is weird because that means it's already popped up. And now I'm self referencing the past, which is the future.
You're like Marty McFly.
I was thinking more like the Terminator.
Okay.
But still, imagine if they did like you know how they used to do like in the 70s, they would do crossovers of TV shows.
Right.
Like the Brady Bunch would wander onto the set of I don't know, Romper Room or something. I have no idea what was.
Sure.
They should do that with the Back to the Future and the Terminator. That'd be a great crossover.
Oh, that would be good. Just mix all the time travel and also Jean-Claude Van Damme and Time Cop.
Yes, and also Ferris Bueller because that girl's in both of them.
Oh, perfect.
Sloane Peterson is in Time Cop.
She is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty sure.
You're the other guy that saw Time Cop.
I love Time Cop.
Yeah, it was kind of a silly movie.
Oh, no, it wasn't a documentary. It was just good. And I don't even really care for JCVD at all.
Right, you just like that.
Besides the Kumite, of course.
Right.
All right, enough of this silliness. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Actually, you know what? I did. About an hour ago, I shot a sleepover fashion show pictures. So the two kids, my daughter and her friend, wanted to do like as part of their, let's say, lineup of activities for their sleepover. They wanted to have like a fun little photo shoot. So I dropped out the big white background and they went through outfit changes and did all sorts of little fun pictures together, individually. Jack also put on different costumes and they had a blast. So it was fun because, again, when you bring your friend, Sarah is suddenly super into it.
Right.
Yeah. So the photo shoot is the greatest thing ever when you have a friend that really wants to do it too.
And are these kids going home with photos, or is it email, or what? How's this going?
Yeah, I'll email the photos. It's just one friend that she had. So,
the parents are going to love this, though.
The parents are going to like it. They had lots of fun, and like you say, Sarah had lots of different dresses and things, and so they both went through and tried on lots of different outfits. And so at one point they had, you know, gymnastic stuff and they were doing cartwheels, and then they had like fancy dresses and they were doing kind of like dance stuff, and then they had, you know, just regular clothes and they were doing sort of cutesy stuff. So we covered the gamut in about half an hour worth of outfit changes and photo shoot.
That's a good sleepover right there, though.
Yeah, so I think just something fun, and like you say, you know, with the white background, it was pretty easy to kind of just set it up with one pretty much standard setting. I moved the softbox around a little bit. What I should say is that I agree with you. I think there was a mention about lighting the white background, and you had said maybe try umbrellas, because I was saying, you know, two flashes is tough to light this 10-foot wide. White backdrop can be done quite evenly with two, if both flashes on the background are in umbrellas.
Correct. We also someone wrote a comment in on our website or email. I forget
about
where it came
angling
from.
Them towards the opposite side. That does not matter if you're dealing with bare flash, because the bare flash will still give you too much of a hot spot. So you have to do this if you're going to light that entire 10-foot wide span evenly. It has to be done with an umbrella if you're going to do it with two flashes. It can be done with three flashes pretty evenly.
Well, okay. Let me qualify what Adam is saying. And sorry, I referred to you in the third person. Let me qualify what you're saying is that when you are doing it with a bare flash in close quarters, then you're going to find hot spots. That is really how it's going to happen. And that's what Adam is doing. If you have a ton of space off the side, you can get those flashes back pretty far.
Oh, I see what
all
you're
of
saying.
A sudden So it covers a greater area. The hot spots disappear. Then, with a little more real estate, you don't need the umbrellas. In fact, that umbrellas won't help you. It'll hurt you more than anything.
Right, because you'll have too much power loss.
Yeah, so there are certain
that places like... That and spill, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But so, and spill is hard to control with the umbrellas, but with Bear Flash, I do flag them on the one side and keep them back pretty far. So there's no spill coming towards the camera, and we get a pretty nice, pretty even wash across the wall or the background. Yeah, that sounds like a great sleepover, though, to come over and you know, that's not something that happened when you were kids.
No.
It's like someone tried to rent Porky's without their parents knowing, and that was that.
Yeah, something like that. How about you? Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No. Nothing. I couldn't pick my camera out of a lineup. That's how little I shot this week.
Okay.
And this comes after a month, and this is a good thing. I'm actually happy about it. I'm not in a funk or anything. I just was, you know, first of all, getting caught up on stuff, coming back from Canada, getting caught up on work stuff and all that stuff, and then baseball and everything. Our season's done, just to give a cap on it. But I spent the month of August shooting with just a bare minimum of equipment. Because as we talked about when I went to Canada, like I didn't remember we talked about, you know, our two bodies, two lenses, all that stuff. I shot with no flash, no zooms at all, just two bodies, two lenses. That's it. It's all I brought for a whole month.
Okay, should I be impressed?
No, I'm just telling you, I loved it.
Okay.
I really, because before you get this kind of, you acquire all this gear, not you, I mean, one does, I do, everybody, a lot of people do, and you get in these stretches where it's like, all right, I'm going to use minimum three flashes every day, that's what I'm using, that's my mindset, and you get away from just this kind of basic photo taking. And I loved it. I'm not going to throw my flashes in the garbage, I still use them, but... It was a pretty fun month. That's all I'm saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess me being enthusiastic about laziness is kind of a what do you call one of those, paradox?
Right. Yeah, no, I understand. I do feel quite happy when I can take the minimum in terms of equipment and still get good results. That's the thing, is that I think there's sometimes a misconception that, you know, you need that gear to make the good photos, and that's not the case.
It's to the point that when I was traveling, like I had my camera bag packed, and obviously I carry that on. You never check your camera, because basically that's going to make a one-way flight at that point.
Right.
But I had so much room in my camera bag, I packed my clothes in there as well. Nothing.
Sorry, there's pings going off in my wife's phone, so...
Oh, okay.
It's very rude of her to be in the studio taking cell phone calls.
Well, hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
That's how it goes. So, anyways, all
right. Sorry, what you said was funny, challenge. Right? Did you say something
funny? I don't know. I can't tell if Skype is delaying the humor, or if it's your wife.
Or if it's your mouth.
Or if it's my bad sense of humor, or... Maybe your son's taking phone calls in behind you.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Okay, sorry, yeah. Sorry, sir. I'll pay more attention.
I mean, yeah, that'd be great. If we just focus on the show for the next 20 minutes.
Okay, all right.
And we'll power through this. I'll do the last 20 by myself. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Par usual.
Yeah.
All right, photo challenge this week. We did tripod, because guess what we talked about last week?
We talked about tripods.
Let's get into that. Okay, here we go. Now, who's going first, me or you?
I don't know.
Do you want to follow my tour de force or lead into my tour de force?
Have you seen my photo?
Yeah. It's on my wall right now.
Okay, let's start with yours.
No, yours is already up now. Too late. All right.
Okay.
So here, now... There's a tripod in the picture, very self-referential.
Yeah.
Did you shoot this with a tripod?
No.
So you really kind of missed the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Is she singing into the tripod?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was full on singing into it.
Was it a gem song?
No, it wasn't a gem song, but I thought that, you know, there's many uses for a tripod. We didn't cover this one. It's also a children's toy.
Sure, I guess. You know what I do, like, in all honesty, do you know what I like about the tripod in terms of kids?
What's that?
Is that if you have a half-decent one, like even just a regular, cheap, half, you know, halfway one, you can let your kids play with it without fear of it breaking.
That's true. Yeah,
that's what I like, because, like, you know, your kids are like my kids. When they're that age, they want to get in there and play with all, you know, daddy's tools, essentially.
Yes.
And so I let them go crazy with the tripod. I don't let them sing into that, because that's weird. Just kidding. Don't tell your daughter I said that.
Because
I like your daughter.
The thing was, here's the problem. I didn't feel well this weekend.
Right.
So I brought...
No, you told me.
I was going to bring... Well, I did. I brought the tripod. I went to my parents' house on the island with my kids and my wife, and I brought the tripod. Brought the tripod and brought the 5D 5D Classic with 85mm lens, and thought, okay, somewhere along the ways, I'll figure out a use for my tripod. I don't want to bring the tripod with me, but I knew I was going to be gone the whole time in between when we last podcasted and when our next podcast would be this current one. So
Did you drive on the ferry?
No.
Oh, you don't drive on the ferry?
No.
Okay.
No, we just park at the terminal, sorry.
Yeah.
And then we carry our stuff on. So really? Now I was so now this was a big commitment to me, because I didn't want to lug this tripod around with me. And I thought, nope, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do my photo challenge. And then realized that I was really trying to shoehorn in the use of a tripod. I hardly ever use a tripod. Mm-hmm. And so we went over. Unfortunately, I got sick, did not take many photos. And then on our way back from the ferry, again, this is earlier today, I thought, I'm still carrying this tripod and I don't have a tripod picture. So rather than set the tripod up and run into a photo with my daughter, I thought, nope, we said creative use of the tripod. So here it is.
And you still didn't. But it's, I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like, though, when you take it with you. You're like, I better use this because I just hauled it around. And if you just to paint a really clear picture, when you walk on the ferry, everything you take is kind of a hassle.
Yes.
And
including my children.
Oh, especially. Because we actually rode the ferry a couple weeks ago. When we were in Canada, and we came down to the same thing. We were going to get picked up, and but it was going to be a huge hassle. And I said, you know what? We'll just drive on. We're just going to go drive on and drive back. And I know why you don't. It is not cost effective.
No, it's a giant ripoff to drive your car on.
I don't know if it's a giant ripoff. You're driving your car onto a boat.
Yeah.
That is worth $100 right there.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm sure when, you know, P. Diddy drives onto a boat is more than $100.
Good point.
I think. No, but that's how I justified it. And plus, I was, you know, for me, it was, okay, once every 10 years, I'm gonna drive on the ferry. Like, normally, we would walk on, or I have friends who used to work for the float plane and the helicopter companies.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of times where I've flown over, which is, if you ever get an opportunity to do that.
I've done it.
It ruins the ferry for you.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Except, this is just a ferry tangent, because I haven't ridden the ferry in like quite a number of years, at least 5 years. It actually, and for the first time on the ferry with my kids, it was actually exciting. I, on the way over, I couldn't believe, what, we're almost there? No, let's go do a couple laps around the bay, because... This is kind of awesome. I'm having great fun with my kids.
Sometimes you get to see a pod of whales or something. That's pretty crazy.
We didn't.
Yeah.
That would be nice. I did see a pod of selfie sticks. In fact, I took a photo. I framed a photo of somebody in the foreground with a selfie stick and somebody in the background shooting a selfie with a selfie stick. Like, awesome. Two in one shot. Yeah.
That's sweet.
I'll see if I can dig that up and post that if I remember. But anyway, point being, that is a major commitment for you to bring your tripod on the walk-on ferry. So I'm going to add 25% more thumbs up to your photo just for the commitment.
Okay, thank you.
So that brings us up to an even 25%. No, I'm only kidding. You get an extra 25% because the subject is great. And then that, so it's 50. You cap out it. 2 points for the blurred background.
All right.
52 out of 100.
Yeah, I think I need to go into any more detail about this photo.
No.
No, we covered it.
Why'd you crop it like this? You didn't crop it at all, did you?
No.
Is that a camera?
Yes.
We'll talk about that later. We're going to talk about cropping today. All right. So this is a shot of your daughter with the tripod. 85 mil classic, 5D classic.
Yeah, just window light. She's close to the window. Mm-hmm. Strategically placed vending machines. Nope. That's just where she was standing.
Garbage cans, recycle bins.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Get it all in. Get it all. You're really living the ferry terminal right here.
You know what you need in the background is a set of playing cards with the Queen of Saanich on it. It's not the queen. Yeah, it is the queen. Is it the Queen of Saanich? No.
There is a spirit of... Yeah. I don't know if there's a spirit of Saanich, but there's spirit of Vancouver and spirit of Victoria. And
you need a queen of
something. There is a queen of something.
Oh, there's a couple of Queen of New Westminster. You get the queen of Cowichan, I think. These are all names that everyone listening is thinking, yes, I'm glad they're telling me this. This comes in handy never. All right. Let's have a look at mine. And here we go, and it's no better than yours. It's one of those weeks where...
There's no winner.
Oh, my God. Plenty of losers. Well, the explanation...
I can't stop laughing at your face.
Oh, come on. Yes.
Lisa says it looks dirty. Did you just get out of a coal mine?
Indiana Jones, man, he's dirty.
Oh, but did you pre-dirty your face, or you just wake up dirty?
I was just running from a large boulder, and then I dove out and I ran into the Incas or Hovados or whatever they're called.
Sure, yeah,
Hovitos,
sure.
The Hovitos. Yeah, so that's dirty when you get spider webs and whatnot on your face. No, I literally, in this photo, I've been awake for 90 seconds.
You look like I have to take that photo down. I'm just gonna keep laughing.
yeah. I look like I've been awake for 90 seconds and just came back from the dentist. But that was the thing. So
okay, there's a deer in headlights.
Yeah, looking a little bit of background.
And
here.
Then there's a deer in high beams. This is high beams.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But the okay, little background on why this is such a bad photo. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm not actually here this week. I'm gone working, so we had to record ahead of time, and so we stacked the shows up. And then I pretty much forgot about this show.
Okay.
And so last night, just before going to bed, really late, I remembered and said, "We podcast first thing in the morning. I don't have a photo. I don't nothing." And so I said, oh, well, I guess I'll have to take it seconds before we shoot or record. And that's what I did. And okay. So I thought, oh, man, I got to use a tripod. Like, what? I was walking around, like, basically the ground floor of my house saying, all right, what can I take a picture of? And why would I even need a tripod for that? So I'm like you, I'm trying to shoehorn it in, although I had not carried it on the ferry with me. Trying to shoehorn this tripod in. So I said, okay, it has to be a selfie. And not a selfie because that's something different, but like it has to be a self-portrait. And so that's what I did. Now, the hat.
Mm-hmm.
I had to move a bunch of stuff out of my dad's house in Canada.
Okay.
On this trip, specifically on this trip, I had to get a bunch of stuff out of there. And when I was a kid, and even now, but when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of Indiana Jones.
Okay.
And so one of the things I had when I was a kid was an actual sort of like a replica of his hat that I bought when I was like 12 or 13. I also bought the bullwhip too, which I don't know. I can't find it. Yeah, I don't know where it went. I hope we still have it. I would have brought it back too because it was hanging on my wall. I had the whip and the hat. The hat I bought at Disneyland. The whip I bought in Tijuana. That's not even a joke. I haggled the guy down to, I think, $20 for this actual bullwhip. Anyways, so I had to bring the hat back. I wasn't going to throw it out, and I couldn't leave it at my dad's. So I thought, oh, you know what? I'm bringing it back. I hang it on my wall in Germany. And problem is, you can't pack that hat.
Right.
So there's me walking through the Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, catching our connecting flight, with all my carry-on bags, two kids in tow, and I'm wearing my Indiana Jones hat.
Awesome.
It was awesome, right?
Yeah.
Rolling through Europe wearing a hoodie and an Indiana Jones hat, you look like $1 million. So, point is, I was that guy.
So you're replicating that.
Yes. So when I got into the, you know what I should have done? I didn't, it was in the overhead luggage compartment at the time, but when I got into the little hissy fit with that guy next to me over my son, I should have gone and got the hat and just said, hey, seriously, how far do you want to push this? You see the hat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I should have done in retrospect.
What's the facial expression all about?
Oh, I'm just trying to make it interesting. Well, I didn't want to go and do some sort of I'm pretending to be cool, because really, who are we kidding?
Right.
You know, I didn't want to replicate the movie poster with Mr. Cool on there, and then here I am, you know. So basically what this is 5D Classic with the 50 mil on it at an F4, threw the flash on the camera and put it on the tripod with the remote. And just boom, fired away. And this was the first one I took. Blam.
No way.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I didn't have to ramp up to this. This was it. Yeah, I peaked early.
Yeah.
And so that's it. It's the on camera flash. That's all you need to know. And I think we have a gem here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
I look at this and I say, yes, this is why my wife married me. Can't believe yours didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different conversation.
Yeah,
so there you go. So that's use of a tripod.
Great. So we really, everyone needs to go get one. Rush out and get one.
Yeah, this is not an endorsement for tripods or photography in general. This is not our, hey, you can listen to the Two Hosted Show. These guys are idiots.
And seriously, you can aspire to take photos just like these ones.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they show you what not to do. It's just as important.
That's
all
right.
Right. Moving on to something more important.
Okay.
Cropping.
I don't think we could crop either of these photos to be good.
I cropped mine. It still was bad. Yeah. Didn't matter. It didn't make it any better. It was just like a smaller file to deal with. That's all. Yeah. That's one of the old jokes. I forget who it was, the baseball player a long time ago, switching to a lighter bat. And like, oh, you think it'll help your hitting? Said, well, it's just less to carry back when I strike out.
Where would you suggest I crop my photo?
Right in that recycle bin behind her.
Yeah. It's just an out-of-focus recycle bin. Yeah, it's art.
No. I meant put the whole photo right into that bin.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. So there's that. Are you recycling ones and zeros? Yeah. That's what we're doing. Got to use them again.
Yeah.
There's that. What? Okay, but cropping.
Yes.
Now, here is a topic. Again, this is two in a row now. I can't believe we haven't really touched on. I mean, we've probably touched on it, but we haven't addressed it directly.
Okay.
Have we?
I don't think so.
I looked back at two or three episodes, and it wasn't one of those two. It was like Christmas episode and then something to do with Adam in the dark room or something like that. But
Neither of those.
Couldn't find cropping.
Okay.
So I ask you, what is cropping?
I'm not sure how to explain it, but I'm going to say taking a full photo, whatever you want to consider it, And
the question was a joke. I was only kidding.
And when turning I wrote it into a smaller photo.
No, but listen, when I wrote the question, I was joking. I'm like, oh, we all know what cropping is. But then I thought, yeah, I can't explain it either.
That's when, when you burst out laughing.
When you crop it.
You know, cropping when you take a pair of scissors and you cut it.
You crop. That's why they called it cropping, man. You know, all of a sudden we're in dazed and confused all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically you cut part of the photo out. That's it.
Sounds about right.
The end. All right, drive safe. But let's look under the hood of what is going on. So when you think about cropping and like a final image, where do you start? Like, what is the first factor that you're going to address? I'll give you a hint. It's aspect ratio.
Okay.
Whew. Glad you got that one.
Sure.
Why is aspect ratio important, and what are you shooting at? Do you know?
4x6.
Okay, but we reduce. So you're shooting at a 3x2.
Okay, why is it 3x2 versus 4x6?
Because it's reduced.
I don't understand. There's no difference though.
No, there isn't. But you don't say, you know, it's 18x24.
Oh, I just think 4x6, I guess, because nothing gets printed 3x2.
Sorry, 18x24 is wrong, but 18x, what is that?
36?
No, 27. No. What is that? No. I don't even know anymore.
Could you go 18?
I think you could, but...
36? Wouldn't it be 36?
No, that'd be 2-1.
Oh, yeah.
The answer is 27, except for you don't actually get 27. No, let me get a 27x18. You don't get that.
I just think 4x6, because that's the smallest size that I ever would print at, but you're right, 2x3, yeah. Sure. It's weird, though, when you bring up the cropping tool in Lightroom, why would it give you both 2x3 and 4x6?
Does it?
I think it does.
I don't believe mine does. I believe it does in brackets. I bet you it does in brackets because people like us aren't that smart.
I guess so.
And they do that. No, but that's interesting because you're right. Like 4x6 is the basic. Like that's your base print size. You know.
Yes.
But the, ironically is when you talk about getting stuff blown up, people just I'll get an 8x10.
Yes.
Even though really it's an 8x12.
Right.
Or an 18x27, as we already learned. But it's 12x18 is the one we're thinking of. But an 8x10, you think, oh, yeah, I get an 8x10. Well, 8x10 is a 5-4 ratio. It's not a 3-2 ratio. And so you're losing something in that. You have to crop that out.
And that's an important variable because, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure this has happened to you where you take a photo for somebody and it's a 4x6 and they just turn around and print it as an 8x10, and then you see it in their house and you're like, no, that looks all wrong now.
Yeah, there's stuff. I included your eyes in the photo.
Yeah.
Now we just have a round photo of your nose. What are you doing? Yes, no, I do deal with that all the time where I try to basically, I ask my clients ahead of time, how are you going to print this? Do you have a frame in mind? Like, I'm going to take the guesswork out of it for you. And then they somehow still manage to mess it up.
Yeah, I think that the general public doesn't seem to understand cropping. No, I'm saying the non-photo people.
Even the basic photo people, like the people who have their point and shoots and all that, and that it's a hot mess as it is, and it's not even their fault because their whole life, you know, you grew up shooting with a little point and shoot film camera. And you go and get 4x6 prints made, and then you buy yourself a little point and shoot digital camera, and all of a sudden it's a 4x3, or is it? Yeah, was that what it is? 4x3, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, and so now they go to get it printed, and now you have to make a decision. Remember, all the photo places were like, all right, well, do you want to crop with white on the sides? Or do you want me to zoom in? Do you want me to fill the frame? And eventually they just stopped asking and went, hey, your pictures are terrible. I'm just going to print them how I feel like. You'll never notice the difference.
Right.
Essentially. And so that's the whole thing with aspect ratios. It got all out of whack. So they would end up cropping them for you. Which is, you know, if you're just shooting, like, you know, bad snapshots with tons of headroom, that doesn't matter. But if you're very specific about how you shoot things, well, you can't have that. So you have to shoot with something in mind. However, so aspect ratio is very important. Point being that if you're shooting with a digital SLR, you're shooting at a 3x2.
Right.
Which means, you know, if it's a full frame, you're shooting 24 mils by 36 mils. That's how big that image is. That's what full frame is.
Okay.
And that's important because now, you know, you can shoot with a 4x3, you can shoot with a square, you can shoot with a large format camera. It's going to be an 8x10 or a 4x5 medium format image. Or there's so many different variables to think about that I wouldn't say any one of them is proper. You can't say, oh, this is the proper aspect ratio. It's what you like, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's get into the cropping part of that. Most of our stuff that we share now or take photos, most of our photos end up online or just computers.
Okay.
Would you say?
Yeah, I think so. The bulk of it, yeah.
I mean, you're a guy who gets a fair number of photos, printed photos or photo books or whatever it is, albums. I think you would say still the majority of yours don't get past the computer phase.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd say probably gets printed 10%.
Right.
Yeah.
So point being is when stuff's ending up on the computer, you don't really have to worry about final aspect ratio.
Right.
So what does that mean? How does that affect how you crop?
I think I just crop for what I think looks the best in the image.
Mm-hmm. As do I. And when it's my own stuff and I know it's not going to a client or getting printed, I just basically it doesn't matter. It can be as wide as I want. I try to pay attention to what's going to look good on a computer monitor. Even though people are getting away from that, I think a lot of people view their images on the iPad,
right,
or a tablet of some sort, and that way, you know, because now orientation doesn't really matter that much in terms of, you know, turning your tablet. But on your computer, most people have the monitor in landscape mode,
right.
So I tend to sort of consider how my images will look in that respect, but that's going away. The good thing is, for the most part, your cropping is likely non-destructive. Like, if you're using Lightroom or Aperture or whatever, you always have that image on your hard drive, the raw image. So you can go ahead and experiment with how you want to crop. Okay.
Yes.
One thing I hear from, we'll say, you know, people who are new to photography, when they talk about buying a lens or getting this, like people who are brand new, they basically try to explain to me how shooting wide and cropping is the same as shooting it properly the first time.
Okay.
Defend that. Defend their stance.
Shooting it wide and cropping is the same as shooting it properly. As framing it properly. So they're it's not the same because they're obviously, you know, there's only so many megapixels in the image. So once you crop it, you're reducing that file size and therefore the number of available pixels in the image.
Yes.
So it's not exactly the same.
No,
the it's not the even image close. Might yeah, the image might appear the same if you're printing it as a 4x6 or an 8x10, but as soon as you, I guess, I don't know how much you'd have to blow it up before it would be very obvious.
Well, see, I've had people tell me they don't want to buy like a longer lens, and, you know, they figure, I'll just shoot it, you know, with the wide lens and crop it. That's what I'll just do the same. I'll do that like the same image.
Right, but there's a million variables there.
There's
too,
a million variables. Yeah. If you're shooting with a prime lens, and if you were to move in on your subject, so many different things change. You, mm-hmm. you know, your basically your angle of view and what you see in the background, what your depth of field is going to change. You know, the number of pixels that you assign to your image is going to change because you've moved in and not cropped. If you use a zoom lens and zoom in instead, obviously all those different, you know, again, the depth of field is going to change, your image will be more pleasing. So cropping is not a substitution for good photos.
Right.
Point is, cropping is something that's going to aid you in making a better photo. So why do you, or more importantly, how often do you crop an image now?
I'm going to say maybe 25% of the time.
Which is not very often.
Yeah. Somewhere 25 to 30, I'd say something in that range. 1 in 3 photos, maybe.
And why is that? Compared to how, like, let's say 3 years ago.
Oh, when, yeah. It would have been probably 75%.
Yeah. I know. Those numbers are pretty accurate to me as well. I find myself doing it so rarely now, and obviously I strive to get things right in camera, but it's not always. Every photo you take isn't going to be a natural 3x2,
right,
so there are times where you're going to want a square image, but I will try to get it, you know, best I can in camera, and then just quickly knock the sides off in post,
right,
but I find that I crop a lot less. Why is that? Why do you crop less now?
I think I just have a better sense of what I want it to look like. And so, you know, the composition, the distance I am from the subject, all of those things are already kind of pre-planned, whereas probably previously I was shooting the photo before I really knew what the end result I thought was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
So once I saw it in the computer, then I was making up my mind about what I wanted the finished product to look like, and so then I was doing it on the computer. And, you know, ultimately I got a good result. It was just taking me a lot more time to get there.
Yes. And a lot of times for me, cropping was sort of like a savior move. Like, all right, get that out of there. I didn't want the corner of the TV in the shot. I should have addressed that, and, you know, when I was shooting it, but I didn't, so now I'll crop that out.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
so a lot of it's tap dancing after the issue. I find even now that I do more cropping when I shoot with prime lenses than when I do with 70-200.
Okay.
I guess I'm just able to get more stuff out quickly out of the image with the, if I could, you know, zoom into 200 or something like that.
Right.
But even then, it's not a ton. So why would you crop? Why do you crop now? What is it that you do?
Kind of depends, but often, like, the number one thing is if I want to change the aspect ratio, that's the number one reason I crop, because like you, if I'm shooting a portrait of somebody, I often find that I'd rather have it as an 8x10 than I would as a 4x6 aspect ratio. So that's probably the chief reason, just changing aspect ratio. And then after that, it's often just to remove a distraction. Like, you know, if you're at the beach or somewhere where you're going to have things in the background and there's somebody in a bright color t-shirt standing right behind your subject, sometimes I'll crop that out. And same thing if I would have you know, maybe change my angle or done something different, but sometimes I just don't notice, and then it's like, all right, how do I remove that unwanted piece from the photo? So those are probably the main two reasons: changing aspect ratio and getting something unwanted out of the frame.
Do you ever crop a portrait from a landscape photo, or vice versa?
Crop a portrait. Oh, so change from landscape to I probably have, but, like, to me, that's a photo I'm not even going to save at that point. Like, if I have to completely change that direction, I there must be, but I can't think of doing it recently where it's a photo that I've actually kept.
I think I would suggest that I probably do it twice a year, like 2 photos a year, I would say. And I have one specifically in mind that I took. It was a spur of the moment thing. It was shot of my daughter who was kind of dancing in the street.
Okay.
Like a year and a half ago or something like that, or 2 years ago maybe at this point. And I took it and I thought, oh, that would have been way better had I been in closer and shot it in portrait mode. However, I wasn't there.
Right.
You know? So thinking of that, I there's been a couple times where I've had to crop a portrait mode out of a landscape, but I don't think I've ever gone the other way.
Yeah, I can't think of one the other. I must have done it the way you're talking about at some point, mm-hmm. but again, no photo comes to mind specifically where it was good enough that I thought, wow, I really saved that one.
Yes. Well, this one that I had in mind was a moment where I was like, yeah, that one, got to keep that moment, but, the, you know, should have done better, but no choice. So, what do you look for? What are some of the things, and besides with the things that you, the reasons that you crop, but when we go to crop, we get into the cropping move, what are the things that we look for to make our picture better? What's the first thing that, that because let's say you're not shooting with a tripod, for example,
mm-hmm.
what's the first thing that you, you think of to make your photo better in the cropping tool?
Level.
Level. Is it straight? This is one of the things I like about Lightroom, is that level tool in there. Yeah. Like that level tool is awesome.
And it's incorporated right in with the aspect ratio changes. It's in all in the same section.
Yeah.
So it's intuitive that when you're already cropping something that you're going to probably crop to make it level.
The only downside to it is that now that it's there, I realize how bad I am at leveling my camera. Yeah. Careless. We'll just call it careless. So that's the first thing I look for.
I think everybody is, though, you know.
Could be. Yeah. Could be all the cough syrup I drink.
That too.
So straighten is the first thing I do in before I crop, and then I look. I do kind of pay somewhat attention to the rule of thirds, not the rule, but just what looks good. And I find that most of the things that I crop, I end up sort of enhancing the rule of thirds.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I agree.
Yeah. But other than that, under those two things, I just generally try to make my photos more interesting, eliminate distractions, bring the focus more on the subject that I was intending in the first place. When you do crop, like let's say you go into the crop mode in Lightroom, how do you do it? Do you drag each side in, all four sides in individually until you're happy?
No.
What do you do?
I choose my aspect ratio first.
Choose your aspect. Okay. Don't you freeform it?
No, I go to aspect ratio, and then I'm cropping within a 4x6 or within a 8x10. So if I'm going to crop, I like yourself, I'll go to straighten first. And then once I've got the image straight, then I will choose my aspect ratio, and then I will basically just drag it, and then I'll just move it to the spot in the photo that I want to keep in the end.
Okay, well, so you choose your... Why do you choose an aspect ratio?
I don't know. That's just always been the way I've thought of a photo. Like, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be 4x6. I'm just going to keep the aspect ratio of the original shot, mm-hmm. and then I'm just going to take out the part or whatever I want to highlight. I'm going to crop to that point and keep it as a 4x6. But if I've decided that this is going to be an 8x10 photo, then I'll go to that, and then I'll just crop as an 8x10.
Okay, so let's say you go on to the beach, you shot 100 photos, you chose 15 that you're going to keep. That's your kind of your workflow. Okay?
Yeah.
So you got your 15. Now you're going to go through and process them. Now you're in the cropping. You're going to go through and crop them.
Okay.
Like sometimes I do that. Sometimes I'll go through and just crop all the photos first, and then go back and work on color or whatever else it is. But usually I'll do cropping first. Crop all 15 in a row. What I do is I go through and just free form crop them how I think they look the best.
Okay.
Like sometimes I have it in mind, like, okay, this one's going to be an 8x10, so I need to crop it 8x10. Or I know I'm going to give these to the client and they're not going to know what to do, so I'm going to give them a 3x2 automatic. And I'll make the best image I can in a 3x2. But if they're just my own, I go through free form crop them exactly how I want them. And then if I want to get something printed later, I will basically choose an aspect ratio that is closest to what I chose, like what my eye chose naturally.
Okay.
So that's the adjustment I end up making. Now, that's a little bit of extra work if you're going to get it printed. And sometimes you forget and take it into the photo place, and all of a sudden you have to do some cropping on the spot, which is no fun.
Yeah, and I think in my head, that's why I've always kind of kept almost everything as a 4x6,
mm-hmm.
is just because I've always figured the most likely thing that it would be ever getting printed as would be a 4x6, and then it kind of takes the guesswork out of it as to whether I've cropped it. So I don't think I really crop anything unless I made a specific panorama or something, anything other than 4x6 or 8x10. Like those, and it's clear to my eye too when I look at a photo, oh, that's clearly I cropped as an 8x10. Like I would never confuse that mm-hmm. image. So
you
that's
mean square?
No, not really. I might have two square crops in my whole library of photos.
See, this, my challenge photo this week was purposely cropped square. Like, okay. More so to prove the point, not because, oh, it looks so much better as a square. I just said, you know what, I'm going to crop this for the, you know, because we're doing the cropping show. I'm going to click on a 1-to-1 ratio. Because square is actually kind of fun. I actually quite like it. Using the square aspect ratio. So give it a try. Don't limit yourself to 8x10.
I have tried it before just for stuff specifically that I was going to post on the web. But I guess in terms of my library, I leave everything, like I said, is because I don't print square. So I tend to not leave anything in the library as square.
It's like Huey Lewis in the news said, I need a new drug.
it's exactly like that.
Yes. So there you go. So for myself, when I do crop though, I don't drag in each side individually. I do start like you and just drag the rectangle over what I see the image being, and let go. And then I will go in and adjust the sides a little bit if I have to. But I don't kind of work, you know, this way. Just for touching up at the very end, correcting my cropping errors.
Okay.
So that's pretty much cropping, except for I'd be interested to see what people do and how people like to crop. So we're going to post an image for people to crop and share. One of our images we're going to post on our website.
Okay.
And have people, you can download it and crop it and reshare it. Let us know just how you would crop this image.
It's a crop challenge.
So, and speaking of that, our next week's challenge is going to be cropping before and after.
Okay.
So we'll post a photo for everybody else to crop and go nuts, but you and I, additionally, will shoot a photo that we crop.
Okay.
This sounds like riveting stuff.
I'm going to try to shoot a better photo than I did this week.
I'm using this one that I already shot. Just from a different angle, though. Oh, good times. All right. Websites, Adam.
Yes, adamschwartz.ca and Two Hosers Facebook and your stuff.
You can find me at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything we just talked about and the photo that you can crop.
Great.
That's it, Adam. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.